You remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt once made the statement, "The only thing that we have to fear is what? Fear itself." You know, for a long time, I used to think that was a great quote. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. All you have to do is fear itself. But then I got to thinking about that. How does that work when you're confronted with someone who is burglarizing your home? How does that work when you are about to step on a stinging scorpion? How does that work when you are a victim of an earthquake in Haiti? You have nothing to fear but fear itself. You know, I believe that there is a hurtful fear, but I believe that there is a helpful fear as well. Many of you last year saw the Dow Jones turn into bare bones. You saw your stocks turn to rocks. All you have to fear is fear itself. And I think it really is much, much deeper than that. And I think probably Roosevelt had a handle on it to some degree. That many times we allow our fear to terrorize us and perhaps cause us to have involuntary reactions that are not really warranted. Will you be turning in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. When the Apostle Paul wrote the early church, he wrote them about numerous things. Fear had to be one of them. And when he writes to this young minister, this child in the faith, who would later become a great evangelist himself, he would challenge him with these words in verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou the partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You know, when you look around you today, you see fear everywhere. A lot of people read the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 that says, "Fear is the beginning of knowledge." And they try to correlate that and they try to say, well, if we're not to fear, why are we told to fear? Well, when we talk about fear in the Bible, there are two kinds of fear that are represented. There is a fear that we often call terror, or a fear that brings severe apprehension in the lives of all of us. It may be over finances, it may be over various things. You know, there are all kinds of phobias that people have. I was reading the other day, did you know that the University of Michigan did a study recently, and there are over 700 different kinds of fear in the world. Imagine that, 700 kinds of fear. Now, we can think of some of those that more readily pop into our mind. We can think of that which we call claustrophobia. You are fearful of being in an enclosed area. A lot of people won't get on the elevator. A lot of people don't want to be in a building where there are no windows. I've had people say, when I die, I don't want to be buried in a coffin. I want to be cremated. I can't stand the thought of being laid in the ground. Well, first of all, folks, you won't be. Your spirit will have gone back to God. There is that which we call aquaphobia. That is, you're fearful of water. You don't like to be around water. A lot of people won't get baptized because they are afraid of water. Acrophobia. There are those who are afraid of heights. They won't climb up on a ladder. They don't want to fly. They're kind of like my wife who said that the Lord said, I will be with you always. So she won't get on a plane. Well, there are a lot of people that have all kind of phobias. I read about one the other day, believe it or not, that is called parenphobia, and that is the fear of mother-in-laws. There are all kinds of fears that people have. Well, some that are warranted, some that are not. People are fearful of environmental global warming. That's what we experienced here about a couple of weeks ago with 9-degree weather. People are fearful sometimes of the housing industry. They're fearful over their finances. And so we see fear emerging everywhere. And as I said, there is a fear that is warranted and one that is not. Did you know in the Bible, when the Word of God says, and Jesus even taught us to do that, by the way, in the book of Matthew 10:28, he said, "Fear not him that can destroy your body, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell." Now here we have Christ saying it's all right to fear, and as a matter of fact, he even encourages it. He says, "You be fearful of God in the sense that he can destroy both your soul and your body in hell." You know, we're real concerned about our body. We get all uptight. We're fearful about a lot of things about our body, but a lot of people are not fearful about their soul. The devil can cause you to lose your soul, and God will allow you to go to hell. But the word fear in the Old Testament means that we are to respect God, that we are to honor God. It means that we hold him in somewhat of a reverential awe of God. When it says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, and it is, and we are to fear God. Let me share with you this morning three things that we need to do based upon this particular passage found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Let me read it for you just one more time, very briefly. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let me tell you what you need to do with your fear. First of all, we are to admit our fear. Do you know a lot of people won't do that? A lot of people will not admit their fear at all. Ann Landers. I used to like read Ann Landers. Dear Abby, it was amazing to me the advice that they would give to people. Did you know that Ann Landers said that in the prime of her lifetime, and she wrote articles and probably gave more advice than any columnist that has ever lived in our time. Ann Landers said that she would get, on the average, 10,000 letters in a given month. And she was asked, "What did people ask you about most of all? What were they really concerned about more than anything else? What was the one phobia that stood out?" And she said it was the phobia, the fear. Fear. You cannot ignore your fear. It will not go away because you ignore it. It won't happen. There are all kinds of people that won't admit their fear. Howard Hughes, you may remember, was the richest man in the world at one time. But Howard Hughes had the fear of germs. Did you know that? Fear of germs. He would use 4 boxes of Kleenex a day, wiping his hands because he had the fear of germs. And they said that he would never shake your hand unless he had a glove on. How many of you have ever seen Deal or No Deal? Anybody? The name Howie Mandel ring a bell to you? Do you know that Howie Mandel has a problem that is called a compulsive disorder? And it is. Howie Mandel will not shake your hand. If you've ever watched Deal or No Deal, you know what I'm telling you is true. He will not shake your hand because he is fearful of contamination, germs. Now, I think you ought to wash your hands. You know, we've installed these things back here for people to kind of, you know, sanitize their hands when they come in and when they leave. But I think you can carry anything to the extreme. And certainly Howard Hughes did, and Howie Mandel does, and he will admit it. He says it is an obsessive compulsive disorder with him, and that he can't control it. And so he's just constantly washing his hands, and he doesn't want to shake hands with anybody, doesn't want you really touching him. The Apostle Paul was somewhat fearful of going to Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul knew what all was going on in Corinth. The church had all kinds of problems. They were divided on every hand. There were times in Paul's life when he admitted his fear. Remember the story of the talents? And how in this particular story that Jesus tells in the book of Matthew 25 that a man was given five talents, another two, and another one. And the Bible says that the five-talent man went out and used the talent that God had given him, and he gained five talents beside, and there was another man who had received two. And he, being expeditious somewhat and energetic and enterprising, went out and he gained two talents beside those two that were given to him. But there was another man who was given one talent, and the Bible in this story, and this is very interesting in why it happened this way, because the Bible says that God gives to every man according to their ability. He didn't give five talents to the one talent man because God knew what he was going to do with it. He didn't give only one talent to a five-talent man because he knew that that five-talent man was capable of doing much more than that with the use of one talent. But he went ahead and he gave the one talent man that one talent. But he took that money that was given unto him and he buried it. And when the master came to deal with him and reckon with him, as he did with the five talent and the two talent men, about those things that God had entrusted in their care, the Lord asked the one talent man about his talent. And he said, I have buried it. And he said, why did you bury it? Why didn't you use it? Why didn't you take it and even put it on interest that I might have received mine own with usury? That is interest. And the Bible says that one talent man made this statement, and it is so consistent with people in general today. That one talent man made this statement. He said, because I was afraid, I digged in the earth and I hid your talent, that when you come, I could present unto you that which you had entrusted in my care. Many people do not like to admit their fear. Sometimes people cover up their fear. They mask it pretty well. But fear can be one of the most destructive emotions that you could ever have. Let me tell you why that's true. Because when fear gets into your mind, it will eventually get into your heart. It'll keep you from helping people. It will keep you from reaching out to the disenfranchised, as we often call them. It'll keep you from reaching out to people that have nothing to eat, and people that are hungry, and people that are thirsty, and people that are hurting from earthquakes and tornadoes and things of that sort, because that fear has left your mind and it has got into your heart. And now you have become stingy and indifferent to the care and to the hurt of others around the world. And when it gets into your mind and gets into your heart, it will get into your life. And it will paralyze you. It will neutralize you. And it will keep you from doing what God has asked you to do. I was afraid. I was apprehensive. Well, let me tell you something. If what Paul said here is true, and God supplies our need, and he meets our need, and we don't have to fear what man can do to us if we're doing the will of God, God is all-powerful, and there will never, ever be a power shortage. Admit your fear. You know, that's the first thing you have to do, overcoming it, isn't it? It's true with sin, isn't it? Alcoholics Anonymous will tell you that the first step to overcoming your alcoholism is to admit that you are an alcoholic. The first thing a drug addict has to do to overcome his drug addiction is to admit it. Most people don't. Many people lie about it. They mask it. Admit it. Be man enough, a woman enough to admit it. To overcome your fear, you must admit it. You must unlock the iron gate of your fear. For fear will starve your faith, and it will feed your doubt. But there's another thing you have to do. It's not enough to say, well, yeah, I admit it. I'm fearful. That's not the only thing, the only step that you must take. If you really overcome your fear, you must activate your faith. You know, there's something in this world that we call a faith index. That is, fear increases as your faith decreases, and vice versa. You've heard me say it, but it's true. Did you know that faith and fear cannot live in the same house? Can't. You can't be fearful and have faith at the same time. Because you either have fear or you have faith. Now, your fear can, here again, starve your faith. And it can increase your doubts. That's the faith index we're talking about here. But I want my life built upon my faith. And my faith will starve my doubts and destroy my fears. And when I have a healthy respect for God, that kind of fear, then I can overcome the terror or the apprehension that can well up in my life. You know, most of us never really fear anything or anyone. We don't. If we know that they can handle a particular situation. I'll give you an example of this. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, you got heart disease, but hey, we're going to take care of it. And all that fear that you had before you walked into that doctor's office is there and it's just eating you alive. It is starving your faith. It increases your doubt. And you walk into the doctor's office and the doctor says, I know you got heart disease, but trust me, we're going to conquer this and it's all going to be okay and you will live. And suddenly there is a calm that overwhelms your body. And you become as calm as that pond on a sunny summer day. Because you feel or you felt in your heart that what that doctor said was right. And you have nothing to fear. And so you become very confident. As long as we feel that someone can take care of us or someone can provide security. That's why when things are going well and they're doing well financially, they're very secure and everything is all right. They're not worried about a thing. But suddenly let the stock market plummet, interest rates go down, wars around our world, earthquakes and famines and sickness and all these kinds of things. Then we stand out here and we begin to shake like Elvis. Why? When we feel that someone can handle it, we're okay. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, there is someone who can handle it, and that's God. That's the Lord. When we activate our faith in Him, the Bible in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your own understanding will bring you fear. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. and he will direct your paths. God is in the faith building business, not in the fear business. No foe you cannot face if his power is in you. For John writes these words in 1 John. He says, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. The Lord is my light. Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? I've often believed this, folks, and I'm telling you it's really true. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. Whatever God brings you to, he will see you through it. I'm convinced of it. There's a reason he brings you to it. You may not understand it. You know, from our mind's eye, we may never know this side of eternity, why he brought us to it. But I'm telling you what, folks, if God brings you to it, he will see you through it. Probably one of the most difficult times in the life of Moses. When Moses had been called upon to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And everything was going great, and they were wonderful. And when they crossed over that Red Sea and on dry land, and the water came back as the Egyptians continued to pursue them, and it drowned all those Egyptians in the sea, everything was going wonderful. They were singing the praises of Moses. God bless Moses. But when they got out into the wilderness and they began to doubt and their fear began to surge, and that's what happened, folks. They could have been to that promised land within days, but they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and they did everything but curse the name of Moses. Because they were thirsty and they didn't have drink. They didn't have food, and God supplied food from heaven every day for manna and quail. Every day, God met their need. But I'm telling you, Moses' name was mud because they began to shift the blame and blame him. His approval rating was lower than that of Congress and the president. That's pretty low. But Moses had a faith that was greater than theirs. There are three little words in this text that are so important to me. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. God is love. God is love. You know why that's so important? Because listen to the rest of it. For God has not given us the spirit of love, but of power, spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And John in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says that true love casteth out all fear. Listen to this. He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. Does fear torment you? Sure it does. It torment me? Yeah, it does. That's why you want to get rid of it. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He says true love casteth out all fear. That's why I know that love and fear can't live in the same house. Because true love will cast out your fears. If you love God and you have a healthy awe and respect for him, your fear will go bye-bye. It will. For he loves us with a perfect love. The security that you have in God, listen, is second to none. Did you know that some scholars say that only 2% of our fears are actually warranted? David had this to say in Psalms 56:3. He says, when I am afraid, I will put my faith in you. And that brings us to the last point. Admit your fears, activate your faith, and acknowledge the Father. David said, I will not fear evil tidings because my heart is steadfast on thee. Psalms 127 and verse 7. He acknowledges God. The words of Isaiah 12 and verse 2 read this way. Behold, God is my salvation. I will put my trust in him and I will not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. And also he is my salvation. That one little phrase, for God. You ever thought about how important that one is, for God? You know what? When you bring God into the picture, why would fear ever be in the portrait? Shouldn't be. Not if you bring God into the picture. It's the most important phrase in this text, really, for God. Well, that brings us to this last thought here. How do we acknowledge the Father? And how do I strengthen my faith? Well, here again, focus on God. Keep your focus on God and not on your fears. Get it off your fears. And just say every day, you know what it is? The power of the spoken word is so true. You know what? You need to get up every morning and say, God, I put my trust in you today. God, I put my faith in you today. I know you're going to lead me where I need to be. I know you will not lead me where I should not go. That you will lead me as long as I honor you today. God, lead me where I need to be. And I will put my trust in thee, and I will not be afraid. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Stronger than the Twin Towers, by the way. And he said, "In the righteous run to it, and they are safe in it." God is our tower of power. And that tower has the name of God written on it. The way to overcome your fear is to acknowledge the Father and trust him. Many will never admit their fear. They won't. A lot of people don't like to admit they sin. People don't like to admit they're wrong, period. You listen to people talk. If they do, it's because someone else did this. It made me do this. If it hadn't been for what someone else said or someone else did, I wouldn't have done what I did or I wouldn't have said what I said. You know what? It's time for people to step to the front and admit their own sin, their own wrong. That's the way you overcome it. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Maybe this morning there's some things that you need to step forward and admit. Could be fear. Could be a lack of trust in God. Could be something you've done. You've never really come grips to grips with it and face to face with it to really deal with it and say, you know what? It's right. It's true. I am responsible. I am the responsible one. And I will deal with it as God asked me to deal with it. I will repent of my sin. And I want to get my life right with him. I want to have the security of knowing that when I leave this world, I don't leave this world in fear, but I leave this world in faith. That's the way Paul left it when he said, I'm ready for my departure. The time has come. I have fought the good fight. I have kept, notice, not the fear, but I have kept the faith. And henceforth, because I've kept that faith, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge will give to me in that day, and not only to me, but to all of them that love his appearing. Be thou faithful unto death, not fearful, faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. And perhaps maybe even today there are those here among us who need to acknowledge maybe either the sin of fear or some sin that is besetting you, that's holding you back. It'll never get better till you admit it. And when you admit it, then activate your faith. won't do any good to activate your faith until you admit your sin or until you admit that you've done wrong. Deal with it up front. Activate your faith and acknowledge the Father. If you believe that this morning and you're not a Christian, you're living in your fear. Whether you admit it or not, you are, because you know that you're not right to meet God. You're not in a position to meet God the way you are. And that's why Jesus came, to die for your sin and to offer you an opportunity to be saved. And he said that you can do that by acknowledging him as Lord and Savior, by repenting of your sin, and by being baptized for the remission of your sin. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. That's plain and simple, folks. Even a child can grasp and understand the depth of that one statement. I hope you grasp it this morning while we stand and while we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?